For this story, we distance ourselves from the present and we go back, far, far back, toward the end of the Elder Dragon's reign. The sky was dark, roots bound in and out of the ground covering the forest floor like snakes frozen in time. A man and a woman carrying a bundle of blankets stumble through the darkness, their path gently lit by lightning bugs dancing through the air, causing the shadows to move and form into malicious specters stalking these two forms as they search for a temple. The ground has been trodden by thousands of feet, carving a path for those who are hoping to praise and lay eyes on their deity. The roar of a crowd can be heard getting louder with songs of praise. They reach the temple. Shattered stones lay around a destroyed pedestal where a statue of Olba once stood. Since the dragon's faith in absent deities dwindled, the Elder Dragons protected the people of Liege and its surrounding islands. The red dragon, Akra, stood for law. Balazar the Green protected the earth. Feridun the Blue protected the seas. And the black dragon Rogar looked over the monsters that crept along the land, ensuring they knew their place. Gesh, the silver, kept the people in line. His ability to shift to human form made it easy to not strike fear in their people. He is also to blame for the growing race of dragonborn, so his goodwill missions can be assumed successful. Each dragon grew their admiration among leaders and groups. At this temple, the green cloaks of Balazar fill the gaps in trees surrounding the temple. A bone-rattling roar echoes around the countryside as a large figure descends from overhead, crashing into the temple, demolishing columns of stone and raising its head.
"Balazar speaks,"
the dragon roars.
"The world listens,"
the crowd of followers shout back in unison while kneeling to their king.
"When the fires took over the forest of Fartroth, I stepped in to quell the flames. When the rivers rose and started to flood the land, I beat back the waters. I have given shelter to those in need among the mountains. I have kept marauders from salting fields, dwarves from desecrating mountainsides, and slowed the rapid deforestation of Liege. But it is you who give me strength. You've shared your iron will, your faith that was forged in fire as I was in the life-giving magma of the Forbidding Islands. As I have stood strong against our enemies, I stand strong now against my brothers and sisters. Greed, envy, and pride have created a valley between my family, your reigning elders. I can only do so much to hold us together, so be aware. The future is clouded, but war may be on the horizon, and I will look to you once again to be my sword, my shield, and this world's only hope to maintain balance in nature."
The crowd erupts in cheers. The man and woman raise their child so it may lay eyes on their god. Balazar scans the crowd and sees the child.
"All of you go, rest. You never know when I will need your strength."
He raises a claw and points at the child.
"You, bring the child here."
The couple rejoice. Balazar has never selected a follower from the crowd to meet with him.
"Let me hold him."
The dragon tenderly takes the child from outstretched hands and glares into its eyes.
"You have presented me with your blood, but this child shares little with you. Confusing. The connection to the natural world is strong, a strong, arcane spirit. Much potential. But potential that will be wasted under your care."
The man and woman look at each other in sudden concern. Balazar looks at them.
"He will be cared for by me, become my ward, and he will change the world as long as you do not interfere."
The man steps forward. Elder Balazar, that's my son. A poisonous cloud erupts from Balazar's jaws. The man and woman gasp for air as their veins turn black. They drop to their knees as Balazar spreads his wings and takes flight. The couple kneel and struggle to lay their arms forward and place their heads onto the ground in praise of the Dragon Lord until they take their last breath. Years pass and tensions rise as the five elders quarrel over who has the right to rule, a fight for power. What was once home and a place of civil discourse lies mostly abandoned until Balazar calls a meeting and hopes to avoid war among the elders, the last meeting they would have at the Lake of Elders.
You embarrass us by having that fleshbag here, at our most sacred place.
Rogar, the black dragon, paces along the shore of the lake, looking across at Balazar and his ward. Gesh the Silver looks up from his resting position.
I happen to like the human. Perhaps you need a nap, brother.
Rogar turns his attention to Gesh and speaks. Drops of acid splash and sizzle on the rocks below.
You are a blood traitor. Mixing with the humans, creating abominations, betraying our kind.
They outnumber us 100-1 if they decide to turn the tide. I'll be fine, resting as I am now, on your rotted bones.
Enough!
Akra, the red dragon, rises onto her hind legs, crashing down to the ground and sending a boom over the Dragonback Mountains. Standing at the edge of this lake by his master, wearing the green cloak of the Balazar faith, is a teenage Malbus Smarteldor. He watches Rogar, meeting his eyes, planning his move if Rogar should strike out at him. Crawling over the stone peaks that surround the lake is Faridin the Blue. She looks around and sighs.
I have nothing for this meeting. I am only here to tell you I want no part. I have bigger problems to worry about than the four of you. But before I go, I will leave you this. If you march toward my waters, the seas will consume you and suffocate you, like your title of elder has done. All of you are to blame for this corruption.
Balazar stays silent as Faridin takes flight and disappears into the clouds below. Rogar laughs.
Coward! Afraid of the inevitable! I will claim rule of Liege. Make this easy and stand down.
Akra roars as flames spark in the back of her throat.
Your creatures will not outlast our followers. Your kind is hunted and killed for sport. You are wild. The beasts you care for are reckless. Your ego will be your downfall.
Rogar shakes with rage as he stares down Akra. He looks at Gesh and Balazar.
My hands will drip with the blood of fools.
Rogar flaps his wings and stands on his hind legs. Malbus puts his hand on his wand but catches the eye of Balazar. The dragon shakes his head no. Malbus looks over to Gesh and Gesh smiles, nodding his head and mouthing, go for it. Malbus drops his wand. Rogar leaves, and Akra turns to Balazar.
You call this meeting and stay silent? Your voice could have helped Rogar see reason.
Balazar gives a low, contemplative growl.
Nothing I did would have changed our brother's mind. I called this meeting because it was all I could do. Nothing was going to change.
Akra sneers and says,
You are weak. As long as I breathe, you and Rogar will never lead.
And Akra takes off into the night. Gesh stands and looks at Balazar.
Brother, we have our work cut out for us. Stay safe. And I will see you on the field of battle. You, human.
Malbus turns and puts his hands behind his back.
I apologize for the rudeness of our family. As far as I'm concerned, I consider you a brother as well.
Gesh looks at Balazar and stares at a missing spine on his back. He looks down at Malbus's wand.
Lucky thing, carrying a dragon-forged weapon. You carry that and respect it. And you are of our blood.
And Gesh turns into human form, picks up a nearby stick, and walks away down the mountain. Balazar looks into the lake. Malbus looks down.
What are you going to see?
The green dragon dips his claw into the waters and an image takes shape. The meeting they had just had takes place again in the reflection. Balazar speaks to Malbus quietly.
I never knew Rogar to be so quiet at one of our meetings.
In the reflection, Rogar can be seen watching and muttering under his breath as the others talk.
He is using magic, trying to get any edge he can on us.
Malbus watches, and the playback ends. Balazar looks at Malbus for the first time tonight.
Malbus, promise me. Rogar cannot rule. If I fall, you must lead our army against my brothers and sisters.
Malbus puts a hand up to his chest. Master, I am with you till the end. As I live and breathe, balance will be restored to our land. The forest will grow freely. The Elder War had begun. The five armies stand in a massive circle. Akra looms behind the Red Army of Law. Swords and staves are battered against shields as hymns praising the Elder Dragon echo across the field of battle. Gesh stands next to his Silver Knights, a smaller army but dedicated and devoted to the Father of Dragonborn. Creatures from the sea stand around towering water elementals, but Faradin is not there. It's missing. And neither is Rogar, but his army of abominations and unruly creatures pace impatiently as they stare down their opposition. Balazar sits in front of his regiment, a sea of green cloaks behind him. Standing in line a third of the way back is Malbus, dragonspine wand in hand. The sound of beating wings can be heard above as a creature descends from the sky and lands with a sickening thud. It is Faradin. Bleeding and barely breathing, she tries to pull herself up but collapses in pain. Rogar lowers and hovers above his army.
This is a small taste of what your future holds. Declare fealty to me, and you may see tomorrow.
Akra roars in rage. Balazar looks on in shock. He turns to his followers and says,
Get ready. The fate of this world hangs in the balance.
The crowd of ocean dwellers charge into the field as the followers of the elders rush into battle. A deafening boom rings out, and the approaching dusk instantly becomes day. A searing heat starts to wilt the plants almost immediately. The armies stop and shield their eyes. Suddenly a voice booms out.
Feast your eyes on my light and be turned to dust, for I, the ancient, the one true god of this world, look upon you, the elder dragons of Liege.
Akra looks at Rogar.
What trickery is this?
Rogar replies,
This is not me.
The sun speaks again.
I have watched silently, witnessed faith dwindle. My sisters and I allowed this blasphemy to ensure no deity could shape the future, but you five, you push too far. Now, I have risen from beyond the veil.
The armies start muttering about the ancient gods, the risen veil, thought to be a myth, but here they are.
Submit to me, call back your forces, and we shall move forward into a new era.
Faradin pulls herself up and looks to the elders. Akra speaks.
You have done nothing for centuries, laid in hiding while we helped shape a better world. You do not have the right to wake from your pathetic slumber and take what we have earned. We rule this land. We will not be intimidated, and we will defend our kingdom. The citizens of Liege have seen our generosity and our power. Now they shall see us strike down the sun.
The five dragons take flight, and instantly, the sun explodes. Grit tears at the armor and robes of Malbus Smarteldor as he shields his eyes from the blinding light. He lowers his arm as the heat starts to dissipate. All around him lies sand. Stretching miles behind him, small dunes have formed in this desert landscape. The mountains and trees stand tall outside of this blast point. The additional armies still stand confused. The monstrosities of Rogar can be seen fleeing into the woods and mountains as the ocean folk lie dried out and motionless. The dragons are gone. Their leaders are gone. And with that thought reaching and sparking in the minds of those left standing, they drop their weapons in fear and shock. Some retreat, leaving the desert. Some fall to their knees in prayer, reaching out to Risen Vale for forgiveness. Malbus looks around stunned and makes his way to the Dragonback, stumbling over rocks for days, working his way up the mountain steps to the Lake of Elders. It is abandoned. He tries to look into the lake with no luck. He sits on its shore and starts to weep. He stands up and in anger throws his wand into the water. As it splashes, a ripple spreads through the water, revealing an image of the sun. But it's not what he has known for his lifetime. The sun, inside its flaming mass, he can see a silhouette, a dark humanoid shadow floating in the sun's center. "Risen," Malbus whispers. He rushes into the water and swims out and dives under the surface. After a moment or two, a hand erupts from below, clutching the wand. From this moment, Malbus dives into his studies, searching for every bit of information regarding magic, the arcane, and the ancient gods. Years go by, and with dogged determination, lack of sleep, and constant vigilance, Malbus grows exponentially in power. He becomes obsessed with the catastrophic events of what is known as the Descending, a date when the ancient gods came down and displayed their power. Malbus finishes writing out a spell on parchment. He stares at it and holds it in his hand. The page bursts into flames and disintegrates. It is pouring down rain. Malbus, wearing his green cloak, digs, scraping glyphs and runes into the dirt. Soaking wet, he stands and takes 10 steps back. He points his wand at the circle he constructed, and thunder rumbles across the Dragonback Mountains as Malbus starts speaking the spell near the shore of the Lake of Elders. Lightning crashes into the center of the circle and leaves a figure standing there. An old wise male in decadent robes of purple stands facing Malbus. Malbus points his wand, shaking with rage. "Risen Vale!" The man looks at the circle below and back at Malbus and nods. "I am Malbus Smarteldor. For years I've tried to find you and bring you here. I want answers. I want retribution." Risen raises a hand. "What you want, you cannot have. I know what you have been up to. You are a powerful wizard, Malbus. I have seen very few walk this earth with such a natural ability. You have a way with magic, young man." Malbus grits his teeth. "Don't patronize me. I'll kill you where you stand." Risen sighs and steps out of the circle. Malbus falters, a look of shock on his face. "Malbus, your trap is useless. I exist in a plane of my own. If I come here, it is by my will. You are but a blade of grass to me. You crumple under my steps. You bend from my spoken breeze. This nonsense is a petulant child's drawing, and you think you can strike me down? I built this world. You exist through me. You are nothing more than a speck of dust I can flick away. And if you want to end your legacy, your master's legacy, right here in a ball of flame, I won't stop you. But I will erase you." Malbus shakes and lowers his wand. "Balazar was a good creature. Balazar and his kin would have destroyed this world, Malbus, and everything I have done to shape it. That is unacceptable." Malbus looks at the ground. "It was all I had, Risen. My training was not complete. I have nowhere to go from here." Risen approaches and puts a hand on Malbus's shoulder. "Your master taught you many lessons that you can continue to teach to the people around you. You may not have finished training, but look what you've accomplished on your own. I wouldn't be here if I thought you didn't have a bigger role to play in the future. So you have 2 options, Malbus, only 2. Take what you know, continue to learn, and help Balazar live on through you. Or waste your time, exact your vengeance on me, and I will assure you are as one with the sand. Now tell me, is this worth it? Is this what Balazar would want? Is this moment worth dying for? Malbus puts his wand away and meets Risen's eyes. I will lead in my master's footsteps, make changes, become something better. But as for you, I suppose I should thank you in some way, but I will never follow you. Risen smiles. I figured that much. Stay focused, Malbus. You have much potential. Hopefully we won't have to speak again. Risen disappears in a flash of lightning. Malbus looks where he was standing and walks over. He kicks the ground to cover the circle he drew and stares at his wand. Through the years, Malbus trained and made a name for himself, a mentor to fellow adventurers, as well as a powerful political figure, ensuring kingdoms took into account nature's balance and decrees and new laws. He saved towns from monstrous onslaughts, exploding rogue giants in the center of Prideborn, sailing through a massive storm and raising a fellow traveler's sinking ship above towering waves and bringing them to safety. He's entered a tomb of unknown horrors that claimed the lives of hundreds to defeat an evil lich and returned unscathed. He experiments with magic as he enters his later years, finding hints and clues that there may be more than what we know about the arcane. He assembles a team to help him test and research. Through this, he winds up reunited with Risen. After making a sacrifice, he knows what he has to do. He cannot be responsible for the safety of Liege, but he can train the next generation of hero. He claimed a plot of land in the free territories, unruled by kingdoms. He watched dynasties fall and witnessed life, love, and death. Eventually, the curse started to wear on him. The sacrifice he made, he started to regret. But he never lost sight of his goal. He knows of the wellspring. He knows Risen is simply a face for this deity, and he knows when the mood hits, the wellspring could destroy all of existence. A sacrifice left him powerless and immortal to look on from a distance, but it gave him lifetimes to find an answer, to find a way to fight a god. But he cannot do it alone. Balazar believed nature provides balance to the environment. It is adaptable and strong, but Malbus didn't have the tools to craft a world-saving miracle. He studied and researched and remained a figurehead of his school, Hagwarts. Working with students and looking for those with promise, many came and went, but none like the fire genocide with a mind like a sponge. He would spend nights twirling his wand. He saw himself in that child. Potential, great power. As time went on, the child ventured off on his own. He became friends with a half-orc, a druid, and a dragonborn. There was no reason for Malbus to trust a pirate, but there was plenty of reason to trust a descendant of Gesh, as all dragonborn are. He was surprised to learn the genocide befriended a lusty ranger he encountered through his years, but as they took on trial after trial, survived impossible odds, face down tyranny. He called Thala into his office. She came in barreling, with stacks of papers and documents. Malbus flicked his hand and the papers floated about, suspended in the air for him to examine.
"Would you like me to get the coalition?"
Thala asks out of breath. Malbus shakes his head. "No, this could be the last night on Earth. I sent them to have fun. One last party with friends and allies. No worries."
"I see. What do you need these for?"
Malbus paces around looking at the files. There is something strange. Can you feel it? It's something new, something that has been waiting dormant for a millennia, and now is the time. It is a genetic balancing act, the likes we haven't seen, and I don't know what it means. It's an evolution. Malbus waves his hand and the papers fly around and land in four neat stacks on his desk. He walks over and places his hand on the files right under each name. Garrel Embersole, Erebus Blackheart, Topher Biznatch, and River Song. Thala straightens her glasses and looks at Malbus with confusion.
Sir, what did you find?
He lets his hand rest on the desk. He continues staring at the files, not looking up to meet Thala's gaze.
What did I find?
Something worth dying for.